Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is the show live? Are we live?
We're on the air.
Pat, we're on the air. What? Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Best Show, which is the show that has been happening for a long time, and it's happening for another episode, and this is going to be some episode. You're not even going to believe what's coming your way tonight. We got a topic that we're going to figure out names for strains of weed for New Jersey, because weed is legal in New Jersey. Is it soon or now? Is it there now? Is it there soon? It's coming, right? It's coming. And then you get that, those New Jersey, brand. We need like the equivalent of Maui Wowie, but for New Jersey. So we're going to come up with names like that. So you call up with that. And then we got, we're going to have a conversation with our friend Jason Walliner, who, directed the, Borat 2. Very impressive, feat. And he's going to be on the show, and, we're going to talk to him all about that and other things. And we're going to talk to you about anything you want to talk about. That's all it is. It's going to be a good show. It's going to be a good show, guys. And we're going to start it in a matter of moments. Once I figure out which button to press. And now I did. And now we can start the program. The phone number 201-332-3484. That is the number. If you want to call the show and talk to me or talk to anyone via the show, it's a little inconvenient. You should probably contact them directly. But if that's how you wish to talk to someone, maybe you're having an old-fashioned sitcom-y fight with somebody and you're just like, you tell so-and-so that I said this. And then you talk through them, and then maybe the two of you draw a line through the room, and you can only cross on one side. Then it comes down to who got the bathroom on their side is the big thing. Whoever's got the bathroom on their side wins that exchange. But you call up and you talk, and you have fun. And I wish all of you the best show. Get it?
Best show.
That's right. Yes. Hi. Hello. Hi. It's the best show. My name's Tom. I'm the host of the show, and we're here on a Tuesday night, just like we have been for the last 35 years. How about that? I remember it well. Jimmy Carter was our president, and the world was talking all about we were pretty excited. Season 8 of MASH had just begun, and Alan Alda started directing episodes for it, so that was kind of fun to see what he did behind the camera. And we were also cheering on the exploits of the Broad Street Bums down in Philly. They were the hockey team that we all thought were the tough guys of the world, and boy, oh boy, did we cheer them on. And we also had, we did not cheer on Son of Sam. We booed him pretty harshly, not too harshly, could have booed him even more harshly, and we caught him. I remember the day we caught him when we were like, we got him. And that's when the best show started. It was an exciting show. The Yankees were in the World Series. The Broad Street Bums were doing their thing. Mean Joe Green was all over the place doing stuff. John Travolta was disco dancing through Greece. And then we had the Sweat Hogs as well. We're doing the things they always did. And punk, boy, oh boy, punk. Don't forget punk, right? Remember what punk was doing back then? That was something else, huh? The Mohawks and the needles and the noses, and the streets were filled with punks. And, that's the best show. And now you look around and we got, subreddits and robots and other things that are now, that seem to be quite prevalent in the world. To be honest, I have not been tracking what's been going on in the world lately outside of robots and Groupons. And, and then we got, Mean Joe Green. No, he's not. That was then. We got, superstars like, Alex Rodriguez. I know he's done. We got cool dudes like Louis Gohmert. He's pretty cool, right? Louis Gohmert. How much do you think a Louis Gohmert, if I go to eBay and I type in Louis Gohmert autograph, what do you think comes up? Jason?
Louis Gohmert autograph?
If I type in Louis Gohmert signed and we see like what comes up, what do you think? If I go there and I hit highest first and I rule out the insane ones on eBay where it's always like you look and it's like $10,000 for a thing that I guess they're hoping some like sheik wanted a thing in that has like $100 trillion that could just buy it without thinking of like $10,000 and $5 are the same to somebody like that. Ruling those out.
Okay.
What do you think like a normal?
$35, I'm going to say.
$35, Pat says. Jason? Don't say 36. Don't you say 36. Don't you, 36. Price is right, Pat.
No, let's do 75.
75. Yeah. Brayet, anything? Brayet, do you have an opinion on this? And this is this guy, Brayet. He runs Forever Dog Podcast Network, and that's the network that you can hear Double Threat with me and Julie Klausner doing our thing. That comes out every Monday. New episode just dropped yesterday where we commiserate about both being blocked on Twitter by Alec Baldwin. And you should get that wherever you get your podcast. And you get two doses of Tom a week now. And you're going to get more than two because we got more Meet My Friends of Friends right around the corner. are coming. Those come to the Patreon.com, over at Patreon.com/TheBestShow. That's how you support the show. Brad, how much do you think of Louis Gohmert? When I type Louis Gohmert signed, what do you think comes up?
Yeah, I'll lowball it. Put me down for 15.
I'm gonna even go lower. I'm gonna say 10. Let's see. Here we go. Louis Gohmert signed. Let's see. Well, here's a nice, this one's actually nice. I like that one too. Ooh, this one's cool. Ah, I like that one. I'm gonna buy all of these. What if I just bought all of them and had them all, like took them to like a frame shop and got like insanely expensive frames? Louis Gohmert's from what state now?
Texas.
Yeah, that's something to be proud of. Louis Gohmert. $34.99, $34.99, $50.
What is it, a signed headshot? Is it like his glossy headshot?
8x10 photos. Let me tell you, see if I go highest first, what comes up. 50 is the highest first. Then it goes to 35 for a bunch. Trading cards. 2020 Leaf decision, political trading card base. Who wants a Louis? Can you imagine? I got a Louis Gohmert rookie. If they had like political trading cards, right? Get like a Mitch McConnell, rookie card from what, like 1975? Be a little, get him in that old baseball card font, right? Yeah, I got a Louis Gohmert and an Oscar Gamble card. I like Louis Gohmert's style. I disagree with him on literally everything, but I think he's cool. This one picture of him holding up just a packet of papers, of like documents, where he's screaming about the papers with the Capitol building in the background. Funny thing, I got a pretty good look at the Capitol building last week. It's nice in there. I will say, couldn't find bathrooms. They're a little hard to find, so you got to go in the hall. Technically, anywhere is a bathroom. It's horrible. I'm sorry. I was not in the Capitol. You think I'm Ariel Pink? You know, when they were like, Ariel Pink is at the Trump protests, I was like, oh, I know what that means. Clearly, David Bowie and Syd Barrett at one point went to the Capitol. And this guy's here doing it worse. Hey-o! Guy never tripped across an original idea, that guy. That's one of those guys you hear the first time you hear it, you're like, oh, that's a fraud. Am I wrong? Didn't like it then, don't like it now, like it a little less. I'm saying that Ariel Pink sucks. Always did. Always will. And I've got the receipts. May Louis Gohmert, may your sister share a bunk bed with Louis Gohmert. That'd be what the Karnak would say. No. That whole thing was a debacle and a sickness. And I just sat there trying not to throw up the whole day. But here we are. Right? Wait, what is it? It's not the Broad Street Bums. I'm looking on Twitter and I see Mary is going ham. Man, I don't like how that felt coming out of my mouth. I'm not doing that again. Yeah. It's not the Broad. What is it? It's a Broad Street Bullies. Broad Street Bums. Which one? Talking to three guys. Brad only knows anything that happens in Atlanta.
They call themselves the Bullies. I thought you were doing a riff on it, calling them the Bums.
Oh. No, I thought it was the Broad. I thought it was the Broad Street Bums. They were the Broad Street Bullies. Look, I've been doing this show for a long time. These are the things I've forgotten more about this than any of these people remember. Yeah, but I want to just say this Louis Gohmert. He not my kind of guy. Not my kind of guy. I'd like to see someone pour a milkshake over his head. He's got like a perfect head to dump a milkshake over. Right? And they dump it and he just goes, strawberry. On sitcoms, when people dump milkshakes on your head, right? And then the person just... Why does the person stand so still? Milkshakes don't pour quickly. They pour out very, very slowly. You're committing to letting them dump the entire milk. I'd be like, stop pouring. Like you pull away. Like don't pour that on me. But they stand there and then they go, chocolate. Anybody ever poured a milkshake on your head, Pat?
Thankfully, no.
Night's still young, though, huh?
Night's still young. When I'm back at that, who knows? Comedy night, audience participation, who knows?
Yeah. You're back in the cellar.
When you're back at the cellar, yeah. When you're back over at UCB Theater.
When I'm back seeing Gallagher 2,
that's never
who knows?
What's not?
UCB What's not? Theater? UCB? No yeah. way.
No,
I don't think that's coming back here.
I think it is. I think it is. I think they came up with a good idea. They're opening one right on Broadway now. They're going to do it like literally the Lunt-Fontaine Theater is now going to be UCB Theater. I think they're going.
UCB Fontaine.
I think they might be going in the wrong direction, biting off even more than they can chew this time to move the theater literally to Broadway. But no, look, I'm not going to put that in the UCB. I got so many good things out of that theater over the years.
Me too.
But, that one over on
that shows.
But you're not the reason they closed the place, are you? I thought that was.
I kind of think I was. I performed the last night.
I thought it was whatchacallit was the last one. Watto did like a thing there and then like, I think they shut the lights off halfway through his show. That's the guy from George Lucas talk show, Watto. And, I don't know. Maybe we could get confirmation from that producer of that show. I don't know. That kid. So this Louis Gohmert, not my kind of guy. He's got a head perfect for dumping a milkshake on top of. That said, he's got a very powerful signature. Very playful. The signature. You want to look at funny signatures? Look at Lou Reed's signatures on, look at Lou Reed autographs and like, you will see literally the most half-hearted signature you've ever seen in your life. When you look at some of the signatures that Lou threw down. At different points. There's one I'm looking at right now where it looks like he just wrote a lowercase h and then another lowercase h and then a little witch hat. And that's supposed to say Lou Reed. Now people who, Sweet Lou, not known for his signature. Although this pretty sweet copy of New Sensations here says, to Ziggy, something Lou Reed. Ziggy. Is that Ziggy the cartoon fella waited online to get Lou Reed's autograph? So while we're talking about Philadelphia and the Broad Street Bullies, another bully of a different stripe. Where is this kid? He tweets at me all the time. He tweeted at me today. Craig Gethard. Where is it? He's trying to go after Jim Jordan. Who's Jim Jordan?
Ohio senator, right?
Yeah. I like the idea that this is what this kid, Craig Gethard, is saying. He said he's trying to get, like, I would love to start a boycott Jordan hashtag going and get a lot of people to join in telling his donors, I need a famous person. Can you help with this? And then the next tweet, at Josh Gondelman, at me, at Patton Oswalt, at Mountain Goats, can you help? Meanwhile, go ask your brother. Where's your brother? This kid, Craig Gethard, his brother is Chris Gethard. Chris and Craig. And it's like, go ask your brother to help out. You asking me and Josh Gondelman, Patton Oswalt. Hit your brother up. Put him on the thing. You put me on blast like that. Then I don't do it. Then I look like I got my head buried in the sand. Sick. I agree with the message. Agree with the message. Don't agree with the style. Craig Gethard, low class. Not low. No, no. You're like school in the summer. Craig Gethard. Jason, say why.
Why?
No class. Pat, any calls?
Tons. Full phones.
Full phones. Full phones. That's what I like on a Tuesday. We've been doing this show since 1975, and we still get full phones the second we throw that number out. I remember how it was back then. I did the show. Then it was Art Russ Jr. came on. He did his thing. Then we had Dr. Gene Scott did a show. It was a fun time, and Regis Philbin had a morning show on the station. Give me a good one, Pat, please.
Hello?
Hello, hi, welcome to the best show.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Dave in Woodside, Queens.
Dave in Woodside, Queens.
Yes, although I'm upstate.
What's going on? what's Woodside, Queens like?
Woodside, Queens has a lot of Irish bars, Thai food, and the 7 train.
Mm. Who's the most famous person from Queens?
From all of Queens?
Yeah.
Gosh. Tony Bennett. Ed Burns, James Caan.
Jimmy Caan. Now, let me ask you a question. What's your name again? Jeff? Joe?
Dave.
Dave. Dave, would you know when you see these, like, Jimmy Caan, like guys like that, and they were like tough guys, and they'd like knock everyone's block off? At what point am I like a sad sack for being like running through in my mind? Yeah, I could beat him up now. Then I'd be like, yeah, who's a tough guy now? I mean, well, this guy's old. He's hobbled. He's getting around. He's compromised. He's just, he's not at his peak physically. In terms of fighting, I still have a part of me that wants to still just like pop him in the mouth and then look at him and go like, yeah, who's tough now? Not so tough, are you?
Yeah. That's so tough without a script in front of him.
Is that a character flaw?
No, I think it's fine.
Be honest. No, be honest. Totally. Be honest.
No, I think we all experience that to some degree.
That I don't look at a guy like that and then think like when I see like...
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Like who's another fan? Like, I see, like, Chuck Norris, and I'm just like, I beat the crap out of you now. And I'll tell everybody I beat up Chuck Norris. Right? Yeah, okay, he's 80. I get it. He's 80. It's maybe not, I might not be fighting peak Chuck Norris.
It still counts. It still goes on the resume.
But it still counts, right?
Yes.
I mean,
my book.
Do I have to do two for ones on these guys? And like fight Chuck Norris and Jimmy Conn at the same time so that it's like somewhat equal?
It might even it out a little bit, but you know. I'd still put my money on you.
Yeah, but is that a sign? Is that a true character flaw that I have no, it I in me to want to fight old time, old former tough guys?
Yeah, I'd say if you want them to just fight old people in general, that would be a problem, but not with this level of specificity.
Okay, all right. All right. I just don't want to look bad on this. I just don't want to look bad on this.
I understand.
Okay. Just don't want to look bad. Cause I mean, the Chuck Norris one is legit. I'd fight Chuck Norris now.
He's kind of asking for it too. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, he was not at the MAGA march though, but people were saying there's like some dude who looked like him there. How did that shake out, Jason? Jason, did you track that?
What is it?
That Chuck, there's like people were posting pictures of Chuck Norris at the thing, but they don't think it was actually him.
Well, he was wearing a bolo tie, but the nose does not look like Chuck Norris's nose.
Yeah. And those
Do you
Chuck
think it
Norris,
was him?
I don't know. I don't know if it was him.
Do you think that the raid on the Capitol would have been more successful if it actually was Chuck Norris?
No, I think it would have been less successful because I think
it was probably him.
Chuck Norris. And Jason, do you think it's a sign of weakness that I actively would consider fighting Chuck Norris at this point in his life and then consider it a complete victory to me when I thump an 80-year-old former tough guy?
No, I think it's a sign of strength.
Thank you. Thank you. You get it. Yeah. Who are some other tough guys that might be over the hill that I could maybe square off against?
Mr.
Steven
T?
Steven Seagal?
Steven Seagal's a good one.
Ben
I still
Gazzara
think Steven Seagal. Who?
Ben Gazzara.
Ben Gazzara? He's no idol. Is Ben Gazzara still with us?
Mr. T?
I don't want to fight Mr. T. I like Mr. T. Harrison Ford, I could fight. Right?
How would you start the fight? Would you go for his earring first?
I'd fake like I'm going for the earring. Then I'd do my famous wrestling move, which I call the Millennium Falcon Door. Then I'd fly and I'd pretend... I'd land on him like that Millennium Falcon door landed on him on the set of episode 7. Boy, that must have been a great day on set. So exciting. We got Harrison Ford back. He barely wants to be there. Barely.
I don't even know this story. A door fell on him?
Yeah. The Millennium Falcon door slid shut and crushed his leg.
Are you serious?
During filming.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never knew that.
Not much of a news hound, are you, Pat?
I saw the movie, but I didn't see that.
Well, do you think that's going to be in it? that scene
at the very end?
I would put it in it if I was making episode 7. Yeah, I would have put that in. Yeah, at the very least, that's blooper reel material.
Yeah, at the end
of the credits,
you know. It's in memoriam of his tendons and his leg.
Chewbacca's just grunting, trying to lift it off of his leg.
Or no, but just out of the Chewbacca costume, that you hear like, "Hey man, are you okay?" "Hey man, are you all right?" Like just dropping the voice. "Hey, are you okay?" And then, but if I was directing episode 7, I would say on it, I would say at the beginning, it would be like, "Stay in the theater for the blooper reel, including footage of the Millennium Falcon door landing on Harrison Ford's leg." I'll tell you one thing. People would be coming into the theater. The movie would end, and then the theater would fill up. People wanting to watch that Millennium Falcon door slam on his leg. And look, I hope he's okay. I hope he's fine. He seems like he's fine. He's old crab apple, Harrison Ford. Am I that kind of crab apple? I don't think so. On a scale of Harrison Ford and Fran Lebowitz, where do I rank on that old crab apple scale? Because right now, crab apples are having a moment. Dave, where do you think I am? Do you think I'm an old crab apple?
I feel like I'd say a healthy 6. I think there's a healthy six. There's people that base their entire existence on crabbiness.
But I don't base my whole thing. Because, like, Fran Lebowitz is 10 on the crab apple scale.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
Harrison Ford, 9.8, I'm going to say. Because he looks truly unhappy with show business.
Right.
He's only happy when he's crash landing one of his planes.
He's been trying to get out of show business 3 times now.
Get off my plane. Like, is that what he meant when he said get off my plane? And then he crashes it in a field. Get off my plane. So you say I'm a 6. Pat, where do you say I am on the crabapple scale?
I think that's accurate. Maybe a 5.5.
Thank you. Okay, 5.5. Jason, he's going to say, I think you're a 1. I don't think you're a crabapple at all.
About, Tom. Yeah, you're at least a 2.
I think 6 is good. It's not the whole personality, but you can use it for good.
You can be a 6. You can show up and be a 6. But right. I think average, you're 5.5.
Very good. Brett, any thoughts?
I mean, I'll preface it by saying I think it's a badge of honor in this world to be a crabapple. I'm going to put you at an 8. I think you're one of the all-time great crabapples, to be honest.
Well, okay. Brett, you know what? I'm not sure if that hurt my feelings or if it made me feel great, but I'm going to take it. And I also want to say one other thing with this Chuck Norris thing, right? This guy, I'm a black belt, right? I'm a black belt. You know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start buying belts. I'll go buy a, yeah, so am I. What are those belts? 99 cents at a karate superstore, right? Go to a karate shop. Yeah, I'll take 2 black belts. That'll be $3. Now I'll start wearing like double. I'm a double black belt. It's like if I was in Nexium, I'd roll in there. I'd have different sashes on. And Keith would be like, "That's not one of our, like, you're not that." I'd say, "Talk to the sash." You have 5 green stripes on your sash? Yup. When did that happen? I don't know, man. May you must have been busy. You must have been busy playing volleyball. You must have been maybe a little less volleyballing and a little more sashing, and you'd know how I got 5 green stripes on my sash. Just go make your own, right? Am I wrong? Walk around with a black belt? Yeah, I'm a black belt. Walk into like a dojo. Just start making myself a coffee from their little coffee station that they have over in the corner. Because that is the one thing about a dojo. Not a lot of overhead with a dojo. Your dojo, you got to evacuate your dojo like full on. You got to throw a couple mats in the back of a pickup truck. Like, what do you have to do? A couple mats in the back of a pickup truck? The coffee maker?
Some chalk.
Some chalk. Yeah, some chalk. And then, like, a dry erase board, probably, that has, like, schedules written on it. You could do a Spanish prisoner on your dojo in 3 minutes, I'm going to say. If you got a pickup truck, you'd be out. What do you think?
I agree.
Thank you. So, Dave, what do you got for me tonight?
So I have a good list of stuff, well, maybe a good list of strains for the topic. I don't know if maybe you want to knock them out lightning round style or something like that.
But you just get you lay them on me.
Sorry.
You're having a good time tonight. You're having a good time.
Asbury Spark.
Oh, Asbury Spark. That's you might have come up. There's no way when weed is 100% legal in New Jersey, literally, there is no way that there won't be an Asbury Spark strain.
Joey Stan's Psychedelic Saxtine.
Wait, say that again?
Joey Stan's Psychedelic Saxtine.
Okay. Okay.
Bro La Tango.
Oh, my God. Bro La Tango. That's great. We're like maybe like Whoa La Tango, right?
Yeah, I like that better, actually.
Like, I'm so baked, it's Whoa La Tango. Speaking of baked Springsteen, right? You know there's going to be one called The Boss. First of all, there's no way there's not just going to be like a weed called The Boss in New Jersey.
Yeah.
But like baked Springsteen? Bong Springsteen.
That's what they could name the boss, like the best model of the Springsteen bong line.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the big model should be called the boss. Right? And then the other one would be like the Danny Federici, right? On the keyboard, we got Danny Federici. No. On piano, Professor Roy Bong-Tan. And look, I live in New Jersey grew up there my whole life. Never heard anybody with that accent ever.
Yeah.
On the piano, Professor Roy Batan. What? Batan. Batan. Able to climb, fly over buildings in a single leap. What? Where'd that accent come from, Bruce?
That's not Freehold?
No.
No, not Freehold. No, his accent, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. I was just having this conversation.
It's a Heartland accent.
You were having that conversation, Pat?
Yeah, Mindy and I the other day were having the exact same conversation. I was like, it's not Freehold. I don't know where it's from.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Somebody on Twitter, Kim just said, or KM just said, Bud Stemstein. It's pretty good. Bud Stemstein. So which other ones you got, Dave?
I have Chris Christie's Crispiest.
Kush Christie should be one first. Like, I think it should be. Well, an edible could be called Chris Christie's Crispies if they were Rice Krispie edibles.
Yeah.
Chris Krispies.
Yeah, there we go.
And then you just have like a picture of him looking all, all like blown out. He always, Chris Christie always had that look like a tired commuter coming in from New York City. Like, you ever take New Jersey Transit, you watch those guys getting off the train at the end of the day and they couldn't be more exhausted. That's Chris Christie. He always looked like the businessman in this rumpled suit from a long day of commuting and like ties all undone and sloppy. He just wants to get home. Maybe he has like a can of Bud Lime in the paper bag that he bought on the platform.
Sleeping against the wall.
Yeah. Oh, Perry Shao. Perry Shao. This guy, Perry Shao, he's a rock star. And he's got dankness on the edge of town. Perry, you might have done the whole thing in one tweet. And then maybe they'll be like, hey, it's me, Bruce. You guys like to get high? Well, I got a new weed. There's a dankness on the edge of town. There's a dankness on the edge of town. Like if Bruce just starts selling weed, why not? Jim Belushi is. You got anything else, Dave?
Yeah, I got a Denki Valley in the 420 seasons.
Danky Valley and the 420 seasons. That, that is amazing. Danky Valley and the 420 seasons. You made my night with that one, Dave.
Thank you. I also have a Bada Bingdica.
Very good. Well, this has a Bada, this Bada Bingdica is a very mellow, it's very mellow. Yeah. You're looking for more of a head high. I think you might want dankness on the edge of town. If you really want to just feel kind of like, if you're worried about getting to the munchies or whatever, you maybe try Danky Valley in the 420 seasons. That's more of just like a sustained high, more of a mellow sustained high. Is there any rule about that, buying karate belts? There's no rule about that, right?
No, I think it's looked down upon. I think it's definitely frowned upon.
So if I went into a karate shop and was just like, yeah, give me a robe, and, two black belts.
They're going to ask for proof.
They're going to ask for proof. Okay. Oh, I got you. Here we go. Jason, just, let's see. What do we got? Oh, here we go. Look at this. Bon Jovi. Red Dank. Northern Jersey Lights. Taylor Ham, Egg, and Weed is pretty good. Yeah, because that would be the argument. I wonder if there'll be like a North Jersey, South Jersey argument over like a certain strain of weed where it's like, we call it dankness on the edge of town. Everything north of New Brunswick, it's called dankness on the edge of town. That argument makes me sad. The Taylor Ham fried bologna. What is it? If Taylor, Pat, just explain it to me. In New Jersey, there's pork roll.
Pork roll Yeah, South and Central Jersey call Taylor Ham pork roll, and then us Northerners call it Taylor Ham.
Uh-huh. And what do you call it, Taylor Ham?
I grew up calling it Taylor Ham. That's when Taylor I ham. Went to a diner and I saw it on the menu. It was written down as Taylor Ham. That's how I know it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the name of the product, like if you look at the product, it's actually called pork roll. But
because they can't legally call it ham.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the nickname up north is Taylor Ham. Chris Gethard, who grew up a town away from me, calls it Taylor Ham. I call it Taylor Ham. I think Jason does too, even though he's from
Taylor Ham.
Virginia.
Yeah, but I lived in Jersey for 10 years.
I know. You get to call it whatever you want. But yeah, it's I gotta answer the phone. I'll be right back.
Okay. Here's a nice tweet. Dave, you'll be happy to hear this one. What a horrible show. Who is the stoner fool who keeps giggling at everything you say? Well, his name's Dave.
I'm not a stoner. Just a fool.
Just a fool. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
From now on, though, your name is Stoner Fool on the show.
No.
We're calling a stoner fool. I'm serious.
I'm not going to do that.
No, you stoner fool. Say it's me, Dave, a.k.a. the stoner fool.
I'll have to debate that one.
John Solomon, the celebrity disc jockey who does the Christmas show on WPRB, says 10th Avenue Smokeout. That's pretty good. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pat, give me another one, please.
You want one more weed names?
Yeah.
Okay.
Best show, hi.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking?
Dan.
Dan?
Jansen. Like Jason, but with a C in it.
Jansen. Where are you calling from, Jansen?
Rochester.
Oh, Rochester. You know who that is?
Exactly. I know the quote, and I know the voice. I can't.
Jack Benny. Jack Benny. Okay. We're... Show's keeping its references very fresh tonight between Ben Gazzara, Jack Benny. What's next? The Shadow? We're going to talk about the Shadow?
I hope.
No. So what do you got for me, Dan?
Well, the...
Jansen, not Dan. Jansen, sorry.
You guys were just complaining about pork roll, but I'll start off my list with that. Pork roll, Drow.
And say it again. Your phone's a little muffly.
Pork roll, Drow.
Pork?
Pork roll. Drow.
Pork roll, what?
R-O.
Pork roll.
Drow.
Grow.
D-R-O.
Pork roll, grow. Pork roll, Drow.
Yeah.
Okay. Am I missing the reference on that?
Well, Drow is like a... what the kids call a weed.
Ah, okay.
We got
I only know it as the jazz cigarettes.
Yeah.
Or the sticky icky.
Wacky tobacco or...
Wacky, yeah. Well, you got any other ones?
Yeah, I have full service diesel because you can't pump your own gas.
Full service diesel, that's a good one. Because in New Jersey, I will say this, people don't realize in California and everywhere else, you got to pump your own gas. New Jersey, you can't. And the gas is cheaper. And it's cheaper.
I've had people ask if you have a tip.
What's that?
I said I've had people from out of state ask if you have to tip every time.
Do you tip? Do you tip?
I grew up not tipping. Should I?
Hey, you throw them a dollar. Wouldn't kill you to throw them a buck. One buck?
I don't live there anymore.
Okay. Well, you go back, you throw some money around to make up for your past sins.
All right.
You go back with, 300 singles. Just start passing out at gas stations.
Just hit every gas station.
Yeah. Town. Go back to your regular gas station and be a big time everybody. All right, Jansen. Anything else?
We lost him.
We lost him. Is our guest here?
Yes, he is.
Well, why don't we talk to our guest? And this is going to be exciting. Let's see if we got our guest on the line. Best Show, hi.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my goodness. Now, let me just say this before I say anything.
All right.
Usually when it comes to guests on this show, it's one's worse than the next. I'm just going to be honest. It's pretty slim pickings lately. I look at Mark Maron's got, this week, Nicole Kidman. I'm like, what? Nicole Kidman. Meanwhile, I'm over here. I got, the guy who stepped on David Crosby's foot at an Arby's. This is the best guest I can get until tonight. That is because the year 2020 has been, quite a challenging year for in so many different fields. More the field of movies was rocked harder than just about any other by the pandemic. And it's, you can count on one hand the amount of great movies that came out in 2020. And one of those five, you might even have a finger left over. But I'm going to say Subsequent movie film?
Yes.
And this guy directed that movie. This is the director of Borat 2 on the phone, Jason Walliner. How are you?
Thomas. I'm good. That's very kind of you.
The movie's so funny. Everybody loves it. Everybody says it's the hardest movie in the world to make. There's nothing harder than making a sequel to one of the funniest movies ever.
No, it was daunting. I did the first interview I was able to do. I was like, when I met with Sasha, I kind of came on very strong, and I was like, this movie's going to be nearly impossible to do well. It could be just a huge embarrassment, or a forgettable, you know. One of the best case scenarios is that it's forgettable.
You're right. That is actually one where people just go,
that's fine. Dumb. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the worst case is that it's like a true embarrassment. And the idea, like, if we'd cast the wrong person to play his daughter, it would have been a real bummer, I think, with the wrong actor. But if it isn't bad, it could be great. It could be a really amazing thing, and really good. I mean, this was before COVID, so it was more about doing a really funny movie that people could go see in the theater, which kind of went away. But the first time I talked to anyone about it, they only printed the first part. So it just came out that, I came in to this meeting and tried to convince him not to do it. It was like, don't hire me. Don't do it.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like, as if you would go into the thing and say, look, you want me to direct this thing? Don't hire me for this. Yeah. Don't hire anyone for this.
Here's my counter offer.
Shut this whole thing down.
Don't make it. Everyone go home. that actually makes me sound really pretty badass. Walked in, told them, don't do it. They're making a mistake.
And you just got up and left.
And I knocked all the papers off the desk and left.
Yeah. So how long ago was that where you were, courted or approached about potentially directing the movie?
That was almost 2 years ago. So that was early March of 2019.
Okay. Right? And then, because it seems like the movie that could never get made, just for the most, for many reasons, the most obvious being that everybody knows Borat.
Yeah, most people know Borat, I would say. We figured there was something, we have like, you know, to find the real people in the movie, that there's a department that's kind of unique to this type of movie. We call a field team. It's more like what you'd see on like a Daily Show or something. There's people from those backgrounds and kind of documentary backgrounds and reality backgrounds and stuff, because their job is to go into the world and find people. And we knew it was daunting from the very beginning. But even so, it was much harder than we thought. I think they figured out that like 0.05% of people are both unaware of who he and the character was, and but also good, you know, good on camera. Like we would say, we need a racist dentist who has never heard of Borat. It's like a very specific casting on this. Yeah.
So they would cast these wide nets and go and look for people. And are they just showing them? Is it like a battery of things? Because I guess you can't just walk in and say like, "Hey, you know who this is," and show like one picture.
It's
of
like
Borat.
A very long and delicate process that's, you know, invisible to whoever they're doing it with. But there are ways to determine whether or not people have heard of them, and that's what they basically they spent a long time doing. So everyone you see in the movie, you know, we had to make sure that they didn't know Sasha and they didn't know Borat. And also, you know, we also had to make it convincing. One of the things in the beginning I was wondering if we'd be able to pull off is, if you see someone with Borat in 2020, do you just not believe they don't know who he is? And that's, you know, a lot of like the disguises that he's in, there's a lot of debate about that. And, you know, every single person on screen, every real person did not know who he was or the character, that it was a comedy movie. So yeah, we did eventually find enough people, but it's one of the reasons it took a year to film, because yeah, he is a very famous movie character.
And because it's not like Sacha Baron Cohen has kept doing Borat since the movie came out. It seems like he made the first movie, then promoted the first movie as Borat when he went from radio station to talk shows and things in character. And then that was more or less the end of Borat.
Yeah, then he said he retired him. He had brought him out for a few bits on Jimmy Kimmel in the 14 years since. But, yeah, I think that was in our favor that he hadn't done the character since. And that a lot of people kind of, you know, were either not super into movies and pop culture, or a few of the people were young when it came out, and it just, you know, it didn't cross their radar. There were still, though, even after this kind of exhaustive, delicate, invisible process, there were still a few times where it just slipped through the cracks, where people, we were pretty sure they didn't know who he was, they know the character was, and then just something clicks when they're in the room with him. And I remember there was one guy that didn't make it in the movie, in the kind of makeover sequence where they're talking about, maybe getting her plastic surgery, and we're trying to find guys that, have misogynist views, and we'll say, you know, kind of revealing things in these situations. And he's in the disguise, and then the guy just stops and says, "You know, you look just like Sacha Baron Cohen." And then there's a whole protocol in place for when that happens. So no matter what you do, that's still going to happen. But it is a very, I mean, this kind of thing is such a rare situation. But, So it's, even after all that, it's still happened a few times.
Yeah, because people, it's not on their exactly on the front burner, because the movie happened 14 years ago, that first movie.
Yes, yeah.
So they haven't exactly been given a whole lot of thought to Borat. And it's almost just like a concept at that point. And then this concept is actually walking around in front of you.
Well, that was the craziest, like one of the first times I think we, you know, we called, like, when he was in character as Borat without a disguise, we would refer to those, that mode as like gray suit. And the first time I saw him as Borat, looking like Borat, not disguised, and interacting with a real person who just was not aware of who he was, it was genuinely surreal being in the room then, because it was like someone, it was like introducing someone to Austin Powers or Homer Simpson, and them being like, oh, hi, nice to meet you, and just treating this very cartoony comedy character in some ways as a real person was, yeah, deeply weird to watch.
Wait, so Austin Powers not a real guy?
That's like, no, that's a Mike Myers character.
Okay, that's what I thought. I'd look, I, that's yeah, okay. I thought so.
It's okay.
Now that, that he, and he had not done the character for so long that it must have just been like, it's like, so it must have been surreal for everybody, himself
yeah.
included, I'm sure.
I'm sure, yeah, there's a then. Lot of, I mean, a decade and a half, you're a different person, and, there was a lot of, I mean, we did a lot of watching of the old, Borat stuff from both the movie and the Ali G show and even older stuff. I, you know, I definitely watched everything he ever did as that character. I watched the first movie more than 30 times, just to try to like get my head around the tone of it and the editing rhythm and just how scenes, you know, scenes are often much longer in real life. And just trying to keep in my head the kind of rhythm of how they would edit down and what we needed from scenes and the shooting style, and to try to really even make it look kind of that era, not make it look 4K, Netflix-y, very modern and kind of the way everything looks now, is to kind of try to make it match what Larry Charles did in the first one and do anything we could to kind of bring viewers back into the feeling of watching that stuff.
Yeah, because it is a funny thing that comedy, we've talked about this in real life, and it's just like comedy is so hard to be funny when it looks too good.
Yeah.
When yeah, you start seeing like through it in terms of high def.
About 4K can be a real comedy killer for a certain kind of comedy. If you're matching a specific look, you know, it can be different. But, yeah, there is something where if things are a little grittier and low res and low end and just feel a little bit older, there is, it does help that stuff for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of the thing where as long as you can hear it, you're okay. People can roll with just about any visual look at this point after – cell phones, YouTube, everything like that. Like people's eyes will adjust to almost any look, but if it looks too good, it just feels produced.
Yes, well, yeah, and especially on this where it, the kind of worse it looked, the realer it felt. And a lot of it, like all of the CPAC stuff was on iPhones and little DSLR cameras, and there were lots of stuff that we just, yeah, grabbed an iPhone when we're, when he's in the KKK robes walking through CPAC, that was 100% iPhones, because we were just standing in the hallway and, you know, didn't want to look like a camera crew, but couldn't mount hidden cameras in that hotel, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, but you look at the first one when he's just chasing the chicken around on the subway, that's like really old, little, like, I think mini DV cameras. It looks really low res, and it's perfect. Mm-hmm. It just makes it feel, you know, so convincingly real, which
yeah.
it is, yeah.
Yeah. So what were some of the high lights, low lights of like what was like a highlight where you also thought I might die today?
the two that were most like that was actually there were three. The one where I really thought we were going to die or we could die, and it's kind of even crazier in light of mm-hmm. the events of last week, because it was kind of the same crowd and the same vibe. There was a gun rally in Richmond, Virginia, January of last year, almost exactly a year ago. And it got a bunch of press at the time. It was like the biggest Second Amendment rally, I think, in American history. There were over 20,000 people there, mostly guys, with like just giant semi-automatic weapons, just like all these open carry guys at all these kind of goofball military-looking cosplayers, like just these guys decked out in tactical gear. And we had a plot line that ultimately became where he finds her at the other gun rally, that where he sings the song. But this one was kind of a different version of it. In an early version, we were toying with the idea that instead of becoming a right-wing journalist, she was going to go to college, and then he was going to have to go undercover at college and find her. And then eventually it would lead him to this giant gun rally. And he was in a pretty thick disguise because we knew people would recognize him there. And we were just kind of out in the open, and we're trying to stage this this chase scene in the middle of it. But it's like a really tense environment. And a few days, so we get to Virginia, and we're like kind of just, you know, scouting. But scouting, you can't look like a scout. There was already such a police presence, I would say probably more than there was in D.C. last week, of just because there were rumors that someone was going to do some kind of shooting, some kind of horrible thing, and which also didn't make any sense at a gun rights rally, because that's the last place you want to do a shooting because it hurts their cause. And so we were kind of like scoping the place out and casing it and figuring out what to do. And then I think 2 days before, the FBI arrested like these six guys from a militia called the Base, who were, I think, legitimately planning on something there. And so, yeah, that was like the night before. I was like, okay, so there are actual, like, there were at least people planning to do something crazy here. Like, what if we die tomorrow? Like, I think I have to. Like, we're going to, like, and this scene that never made it into the movie, that's just him in this very, he's in a fat suit. He's in like a lot of prosthetics. He was trying to go undercover as what he thought a liberal was. So he's got this shirt on it where, like, I think the back said, like, I think it had a picture of Trump in jail, and the front says FDNRA. And he's going through this crowd, and he's just like, excuse me, Hail Hitler, like trying to blend in. So he's really feeling that, and I'm like hovering next to him, and we're following him with, like, yeah, guys with little iPhones and little GoPros and things. And it was really that was, in terms of like nerve wracking to it would have been a shame to get someone hurt or killed for a deleted scene that no one will ever see.
Yeah.
That was how we started 2020, actually. It was the first thing we shot, and yet didn't make it in. A lot of stuff didn't make it in. The one where I was physically most in danger was probably the debutante ball, where they got mad and came after me after that.
And now that was in somewhere in Georgia?
That was in a town called Macon, Georgia, in a historic house called the Hay House that, we were shooting in. We were shooting this event, and yeah, again, the night is very long, and we shoot tons of stuff, and we've got our cameras and shoot this thing, and it all kind of, and so I'm kind of in this mode where I kind of directed in character, almost like undercover in a way.
How are you presenting yourself in all of these scenarios?
Well, obviously no one undercover, not in that anyone would recognize me, but it was determined that if I bleached my hair blonde, I might come off as more trustworthy to the types of people we would be filming with. Basically, that I would look less Jewish.
Was this focus grouped?
Just like instinct. And I will say it was right. I was pretty much, even when things got really awkward and weird in these situations, I was always trusted. And I don't know if it was the blonde hair that made me completely trustworthy. But so I was like blonde, which also I think actually I didn't, because I have dark eyebrows and my features don't really match blonde hair. I don't know if it's that I looked less Jewish or that I looked like a psychopath. I think like I look like slightly psychotic with these like wire rim glasses and bleach blonde hair and like this kind of blank expression, just like friendly. Just, okay, come this way. We're going to shoot this. Okay, everybody. And so my name was Chris, And
Chris.
The debutante ball, I gave a little speech at the beginning, let them know what the cameras are going to be doing, and, you know, and just say, yeah, you're just going to be going about your ball, and we're just going to be filming, you know, here, but, you know, don't worry about the cameras, don't look at them, you know. And then kind of throughout the night, we introduced this idea of this father and daughter, and, you know, they were announced, and they got to take part in it. And then it was all, you know, we knew it was all building towards this dance that Sasha and Maria had been rehearsing for weeks. So we had this amazing choreographer come in and figure out, you know, this whole dance. And so we all knew, you know, that was what it was going towards. And we also knew, like, you know, a lot of these shoots is kind of getting out, getting everyone out of there safely. And we didn't think this was, like, a super high-risk one. But... So I give a little speech at the beginning. I'm kind of, okay, guys, you guys come in this room. We're going to do this. Let's see. You're going to, you know, we'll film you chatting now, that kind of stuff. And really not, trying not to get in the way, but just trying to make sure that people can get the shots. But I'm not really orchestrating. But at the very end, I knew we wanted them to watch this dance. And so they were all in this room. I said, okay, now we're actually going to, you know, have a father-daughter dance for our foreign guests. And then I disappeared into a little cubby and just watched it and cross my fingers and hold my breath knowing what's going to happen. All the cameras are in place and they're ready and getting reactions and we see what happens. And so they do this dance that's in the movie and, you know, it's uncomfortable and people start leaving and it kind of, a few people started getting angry. And then, you know, the first thing we get Sasha and Maria out of there, they're on a car, they're gone. We're getting all of our footage out, we're getting the cameras out. And everyone in the crew is able to kind of just get out of there. You know, there's no anger on them, really, because they're just, like, hired to do this, and they don't understand what's going on. There's a lot of confusion. And I think around, like, coat check, people start putting it together, wait, this was some kind of a setup. This is some, you know, something something's off about this. This now feels, in hindsight, like this was planned for us to watch this dance. And I leave. And everyone's going out, and I have a car in the back parking lot, and I say to someone else, I was just like, I just pop my head right in the back door and just make sure everyone's out safely, because it was feeling kind of ugly. And I hear upstairs, I hear a bunch of guys running down the stairs, and I hear one of them yell, "Where the F is Chris?" but it really... did not register. Like my first thought was, oh man, whoever Chris is in trouble. And then my second thought was, oh wait, I'm Chris. and I booked it. I got out of there. And then I just gunned it out the driveway. And there was a car coming. It was a one lane driveway. There was a car coming right towards me. And I said, if this is one of those guys, I'm done. I can't leave. And luckily it was one of our PAs coming to get more people out. And then we just, you know, we disappear into the night. But, the camera guy who was still upstairs, said there were 8 guys running towards me, ripping off, their jackets to beat me up. So that was like, that was the diciest of those. And then CPAC was pretty nerve-wracking too. But yeah, I mean, that was, you know, like every day was kind of, some variation on that, on just escaping.
That is just that. Yeah, that must just be. That would be the kind of thing that if I did that, I would be still would be like exhausted from it and would be like, I think I'm going to just be tired for the rest of my life after that. I think that would exhaust me on an existential level.
It is like, yeah, I'm sure whatever I do next is, there's no way it can't just feel much easier than it would have, having been like every day was like, and also, yeah, most days, like in the middle of the day, everything was going wrong. And by the end of the day, something crazy and amazing would happen. And that was kind of like the trajectory of every day. So yeah, no, it was exhausting for sure. But something like that, a night like that, it is. The closest thing I can think of to being able to like legally experience what it's like to rob a bank or something where you haven't actually done anything illegal. But there's this crazy rush of escaping, physical danger and often police. Yeah.
My God. And that was, and you just had so much to put together and so much to pull a movie out of so many different adventures and explorations and all of that. It's the, I mean, the final movie is so funny. And I mean, everybody loves it. And, so what, I know things are, it's a weird time right now for everybody in entertainment and everybody in everything. It's a weird time for everybody. Every human, it's weird. If you're human, it's weird. So what are you thinking now?
It feels like it is a weird time, but it also feels like kind of a transitional time or a time of opportunity. It feels like once we're kind of out of this moment, we'll be in this very kind of new moment. I don't know. It feels like there'll be a lot of good things coming up. I'm hopeful right now. Things are very crazy right now, but I'm hopeful. I think it's a good opportunity also. Like I'm at this point where I feel like I need to really kind of market myself, as I was actually going to ask your help. Like just, I feel like I need a persona as like a director to like for people to kind of rally behind. I don't know what it, or like an affectation. Like, am I like the guy who wears bow ties or something? Like, I think I need to be like,
sure.
Like I have just like a vibe that they want to like make a, you know, a Funko Pop of me or something like that.
So what you're saying is, you need to figure something out that like reads from like 20 feet away. You walk in the room and it just people know that's you and you're easily identifiable.
Yeah. Just like maybe it's like two bow ties or so. It's just like something where people are like that guy, but they love it, but they roll their eyes at it. Like if mm-hmm. I'm like, should I like start picking fights with, people on Twitter or,
That's always a great way to go. I just think that's just a solid way for people to like you, no matter how you slice it. If you're just ready to just mix it up with everyone on Twitter, I think that'll do you a lot of favors.
Should I be like a Ricky Gervais kind of guy?
What if, well, let's think this through. Like Barry Sonnenfeld wears that cowboy hat.
Right.
But so that's kind of off the table.
Sure. Yeah. I think I would look silly in a cowboy hat.
What if, well, he does also. He does not, it's not exactly like he's pulling it off. He looks insane in it. But maybe you need like a, what about like a Lincoln hat?
Yeah, that could work. That could be something. I was thinking something of the brim. I'm sure he wears it. Because as a director, you're standing in the sun a lot. You don't want to have to find shade. You want to be able to move around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be something like I'm the guy, I'm like always spraying sunblock in my face.
Maybe you always have sunblock on and you're always just like, you have this low, like you're always like oiled. Maybe that, like you're always like lotioned up on the set and you're like, maybe what if you combined like a track suit and a Lincoln hat?
Like with a stripe up the track suit that continues on the hat and goes around.
Yeah. And maybe the Lincoln hat every day on set, you like write a new like motivational slogan on it or some kind of like joke.
I was thinking you write it and you fold it, you put it in the hat and at a certain time, they like ring a bell, the crew has to come mm-hmm. around, and I take the hat off and I read like the today's, you know, quip or whatever.
Yeah, or maybe even have it like set up with a little mechanical hand pops out of the top holding the paper at a point.
For me, I think it would be a good, if each of those, if every day it was just me saying something, complaining about cancel culture and how that's ruining everything.
I think if you really lean into big themes, like if you just like talk about cancel culture,
like I could be like, guess I can't say anything these days. Like if that's my, could I have do directors have like catchphrases like that?
Well, what if your thing is that you kind of like piggy, what if you have like a hot sauce? What if you're like a hot sauce guy,
okay,
and you're worried about getting canceled for talking about your hot sauce? Like,
oh, that's good.
I put this hot sauce on everything. I'm telling you, I put this hot sauce on my cereal. But I guess I gotta keep that to myself, huh? I guess I talk about this hot sauce too much.
That's good. And you can also keep that in the hat and have like a pump on the side.
The hot sauce. What if there's like a little kind of like divider in it, and the top part is hot sauce?
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Like, and you can kind of like pump some out for people. Like you'd siphon it out, like you siphon gas from a car with a tube.
Yeah, I think that works. I think that's good because that would. Is anyone allowed to come ask me for some? Or is that how you get?
Oh yeah,
time with
no
me?
You.
Or is it like Johnny Carson calling you over to the couch?
Maybe that's it. Maybe there's got to be some prestige attached to it. Like you've been chosen, and every day you'll choose one person to just like, and you just like, hey, kid, like you find just like somebody, like some kid like running like a PA or whatever, and you're just like, hey, what's your name, kid? Like, yeah, you want some hot sauce? And everybody's like, oh, he has the PA for hot to help him have some hot. He's letting the PA have some hot sauce. And then the next day you pick the star of the movie to have the hot. So it's just like everybody, you could be top of the call sheet or low person on the totem pole could all get the hot sauce.
Yeah, I think it's good. Is there some kind of Tom Cruise-esque rant that I could do that could get leaked that would make me like people be like, I know, I think he's right. I like that guy. I think he's saying some smart things. Like we're all pretty sure that Tom Cruise leaked that himself, right?
It wouldn't surprise me. And I'm going to say this, and this may not be doing myself any favors with this. I'm pro Tom Cruise screaming at the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't be more into it. Couldn't be more into Christian Bale yelling at that DP for he's trying to pretend he's like a Martian or something, and then the DP walks in the shot mid-performance. It's like there's 300 people on the set. Only one of us is pretending he's a Martian. Like, can you not humiliate me any further? And walk. And he yelled at the DP. Everybody's like, oh, he yelled at this. You think he yelled at somebody making $200 a week on the thing. It's like, this DP's as rich as they get. DP's making a mountain of money. They show up last to the thing. Like, DPs negotiate that thing. They don't want to be there 5 minutes more than they have to.
Yeah.
I'm out. Thanks. And I'll also say this.
Is that why he was adjusting the light during a take?
I think
he was trying to get out of there.
Yeah, I think he wanted to get out of there. I'll also say this. There's a thing that happens on sets where everybody on like a Friday will throw in, like they'll do like a little drawing on a Friday, and everybody puts a dollar or whatever into the pot. And you write your name on it, and then they draw at the end, and whoever wins that gets the money.
Oh, yeah.
And I would always throw in, every week I've ever been on set, I've always thrown money into the thing.
Sure.
Then, like, one week I won, and then I was like, yeah, I'm not taking the money. Like, it's a thing where, like, the writers aren't supposed to take the money.
Yeah.
Like, no, oh, that's considered like bad form. So I was like, So I was like, I won, but you know what? Keep it going. Double the pot next week. How many people you think said anything to me after that on that crew?
I'm going to guess zero?
It was zero. Bums. The bums. I just gave up $200. So the pot's at 400 next week. That was cool. Thanks, man. Nope.
What, they just like shrugged and walked away?
Yeah.
No, they probably think you're a multimillionaire.
They're welcome to help me balance my checkbook. They could see how much of a multimillionaire I am. They're welcome to come by any time. If you want like a Funko Pop thing, I could picture like a little Lincoln hat hot sauce figure. It would make a good Funko Pop.
Yeah, I like it. All right. We can make it happen.
No. Well, and these Funko Pops, the one thing I will say, they're very particular about the ones they make. So you better be prepared to not take it personally. They've only made 90,000 different Funko Pops.
Do you have one? Is there one of you?
There is not a Funko Pop of me, but, sometimes I go and I see these Funko Pops in a store and it's like, oh wow, it's the Night at the Roxbury guys, as Funko Pops. And it's just like, do we hate the environment this much to where we're willing to just have plastic be used for that to make?
Like at a certain point, do they just melt them down and make a different one? Like get the ones that don't sell?
They have to. That has to be the model of the Funko Pops. They're all the same, more or less, and they just paint them differently, right?
They don't expire, but what percentage of like landfill space in America do you think is taken up by discarded Funko Pops?
Oh my God. 10 years from now? Just imagine 100 years from now when they're figuring like out what the beginning of the 21st century was.
Most of the ocean is Funko Pop.
That is that's the one thing that Steven Spielberg should go back to for AI and add in some Funko Pops at the bottom of that ocean next to that robot. And they would be Funko Pops of his movies. It would be floating down in that water. You'd see, oh, it's a Funko Pop of Tom Hanks from Catch Me If You Can.
worth going back into AI.
Yeah, he should do a special edition of AI. Add in some Funko Pops polluting the bottom of the ocean. Unless that kid was a Funko Pop.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, just like a very advanced one. Yeah,
a sentient Funko Pop. Now, you and I have we've talked about different projects over the years, right? We've talked about things and
yes.
We had one that never got off the runway.
That is one that I'm hoping now post Borat I could get going. Basically it was an idea that you and me and Andrew Weinberg from Eagleheart had and talked about for a while. That was basically, when you're in like a gas station, there's like that painting of like all the mob guys together, like Scarface and the Goodfellas and the Godfather and the Sopranos. You know that,
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it would be like that, the movie where it would be like every mob guy who's ever lived, who's ever been in a movie, teaming up using, I guess, like deep fake technology for, you know, the ones who were dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be called The Big Whack. And actually, we came up with it a few years ago, and the idea was to do like a Kickstarter to raise like $200 million, because the movie would almost certainly make like $1 billion.
Oh, I'll say this. We laughed a lot about this idea and had a great time, but I think the reason we were laughing about it and having a great time was because we knew this was not a joke for the sake of a joke, but a viable idea that was potentially would be the biggest thing that could happen.
I think in hindsight, I do think, it seemed crazy, but also it seems like probably the future of movies is just combining brands. And there was something very exciting about taking stuff that's like not garbage, like Goodfellas and The Godfather, and turning it into garbage.
Yes, taking these revered,
actual good films,
like well maintained and artistic franchises that happen to be popular,
and just kind of like, yeah, just kind of exploiting them as IP and destroying, like, and to the point that Goodfellas would just be like considered a prequel to The Big Whack.
Yes, and so basically the gist of what The Big Whack was would be what?
I think it was, well, back then it was, this even seems quaint now, it's a couple of years ago, it was that ISIS had bombed Bada Bing, right?
Yes, I think it was, there was an attack on the Bada Bing, which was a strip club in The Sopranos in New Jersey. And the threat was huge to the Sopranos guys.
And so then there was just like a lot of making offers that people couldn't refuse. And then, yeah, they made like an Avengers basically of just every mob guy. And I think Walter yes. White was in there too. I think just as like kind of a throw in like a little flip, something extra.
Like a wild card where it would be like, yeah, it was basically the Bada Bing gets blown up in a terrorist attack. So then the Tony Soprano and his crew start reaching out to the other mob bosses to team up to help fight this threat. So it would be the kind of thing where he's like, we got to go to talk to Don Corleone. And then there's like a sit down. It would be like the greatest scene in movie history.
Yeah, where like you a huge room.
Could you imagine you watch a scene in a movie at a table? One side is Don Corleone, and standing on either side of him is Michael and Sonny. And they're just all back to life, by the way, also. Sonny dies. Sonny's fine in this now. And he's sitting across from Tony Soprano and Big Pussy and Paulie Walnuts and Christopher.
I mean, who would not watch this? I feel like it's an actual great idea.
Yeah. Oh, if this was a movie, I couldn't wait to see this. Like, imagine that trailer when it reveals. So you win?
Yeah.
And then Don Corleone, I'm in. Like, and then like, we're going to need some help from Miami. And then suddenly it's like, say hello to my wolf. Like, and then we got to get Scarface. And then Scarface is in it too.
Yeah. Call the Irishman.
Greatest thing. It'd be the greatest movie ever. And then, they're just like, we got some guys in Brooklyn we should talk to. And then they go knock on a door, and then it's Robert De Niro as Jimmy from Goodfellas.
Yep. Liotta.
And then Ray Liotta is back. Oh my God. Like, I'm getting giddy thinking about this as a movie.
That's the thing is, like, it seems like at first, like, just a bad idea or a joke, and then you imagine what that movie would actually be, and I guarantee you there's no one in America who wouldn't eventually see that movie.
Who wouldn't, yes. If this movie was made, The Big Whack, all the mob figures team up to fight terrorism, and then...
It could bring the country together, actually.
It kind of could bring the country together. If somebody was just like, if like Christopher says to Tony, he's like, hey, T, you know, there's a guy out in New Mexico who's kind of got something going. We should probably bring him into it. And then suddenly it's like, I'm the one who knocks. So you knock, huh? You think you're a tough guy. You knock, right?
Yeah, like, knock, knock. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, oh, knock, knock. And he's like, you think you're a tough guy? You're damn right I'm a tough guy. And then he wheels that car up and the machine gun pops out of the back of the car.
Oh my God.
You think, let me see how tough you are. And then then he's like, then he tells, what's his face to go get the car. What was his name again? His little pal.
Jesse Pinkman.
Or Aaron, Paul.
Oh. Was another, yeah.
Wait, Jesse, but yeah, he goes to Jesse. I was thinking of, Jesse Plemons is the guy.
Oh, he's too.
That's weird casting too, where his name was Jesse Plemons and it's Jesse Pink. Look, it's the most exciting scene. Jesse Pinkman pulls the car around. You want to see tough, bitch? And then suddenly the trunk flies open. And then you picture Silvio just go like, that's pretty good. Hey, T, that was pretty tough.
I think this could also save movie theaters. I think if it was like only in theaters, this would be the movie that brought people back.
If it was the kind of thing where favorites. It's like, this will literally, they were not going to pull a Tenet here. You're going to take this is going to be in theaters only. And it's just like, you buy a ticket now. Until the day you can get in the theater, you better buy your ticket now. Cause because then you'd also have that interest that people, like, we'd be holding their money for 8 months.
Yeah. You'd make your money back just on interest of pre-sale.
Just on interest. Cause people are just like, I got a ticket for the 4:30 show on the first Friday that movies are back. And we hold their money for 8 months, just accruing interest. I'm telling you, the big whack. If there's any studio heads listening to this show right now, we figured I'm seeing somebody tweeting here. They want to know.
Yeah, what are they saying?
You think you work in a little mob control of a puppet theater and get old Wally Wacky Man in there?
Not sure about that.
You don't think there could be a scene when he's like, there's a guy I want to talk to. There's a guy in New York I want to talk to.
I don't know. It's kind of a pony? It's kind of a niche reference. But I don't know. I think that might be confusing.
Hey, Tony, I hate terrorists too.
Yeah, you know what? Why not throw him in there, right? No, it's good. It's gonna be huge for him. Yeah, throw him in there. But if people don't like it, they'll still be happy with the rest of the stuff.
The idea, you picture the idea, like, what if Wally Wacky Man is in the, cause somebody just put a picture of the scene of De Niro kicking Frank Vincent from, and some of these guys would have to play multiple parts, by the way.
Yeah, Frank Vincent would be a number of parts.
Yeah, and then, Frank Vincent. Yeah,
Pacino would obviously be a bunch of characters, like different ages.
Yeah, he'd be Michael and Donnie Brasco and Scarface.
Right. What do we do about the whole Johnny Depp issue? I guess he's the cop, right?
So you didn't want him. He had no cop in this thing.
Yeah, no. You wouldn't need to deal with the whole Johnny Depp of it all.
But you just picture suddenly like Wally Wacky Man shows up and then opens his mouth and then there's like a pistol in it.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
That's really good, yeah.
Yeah. Like, tell me if you felt this.
Wait. That's really good. That's really good. So Wally is there someone puppeteering him? Is Z-Man in this, or is Wally like a sentient, just a character in this?
We'll shoot it to where, you know, those weird scenes and these Muppet fans, I tell you, one's weirder than the next, where they accept those weird full body shots of Kermit that look like the strangest thing you ever saw in your life. Like trotting around and you see his like, spindly legs moving.
No, it really
so
stands
weird.
Out when you see when it cuts to the shots because you're just thinking about how different it is than the rest of it. Yeah,
yeah. So we'll probably get Z-Man in a green unitard and kind of
so
just kind of just comp him out.
Legs. Well, that would be if Wally. First, the idea of like a full body Wally Wackerman is very chilling. But then after that, that he opens his mouth and there's a gun there that you're not even implying he's a you know he's got someone puppeteering him. Is really disturbing. Maybe it's like a Tony Soprano dream or something.
I gotta watch. I can't eat gabagool before bed.
Like, it's like it's a weird fantasy sequence in the Big Whack has Wally whacking. Well, he's got whack in the name. Of course he has to be in this thing.
Right, he whacks men.
So your name's Wacky, Wally Wacky Man, huh? What do they call you that?
You want to find out? Because I'll whack you, man.
And
so, what if we just put Z-Man in a full Wally Wacky Man costume for certain shots?
Like I feel like that's a Muppets thing, too, where like you see them from afar and suddenly they're much bigger and shaped differently.
Well, we might as well go all the way with it then and just embrace the weirdness of that.
Yeah.
Because then maybe we have just like a full-on 5-minute fight scene with Wally Wacky Man fighting like an actual fist fight. Because at one point maybe the families all break up and then they all have a big fight like in Civil War, like in a Avengers thing. They'll turn on each other, so you get to see what it's like when they all fight. Then they pull together for the big show-off, showdown.
The question is, do we think we could, like, work something out where David Chase would not have to approve how we use his characters or ever see the script, really?
Yeah, we have to just do some end run around him somehow to get him to be, like, where the end result would be David Chase screaming at his agent and manager and lawyer, being like, "How did this happen?"
Yeah. Well, I'll use my trickster skills that I picked up on Borat, and we will trick him into signing a release.
Maybe maybe we throw Borat in this thing.
Anyway, I think he's retired him now for good, but yeah, why not? We figure out a way that it's legal. We do it.
Yeah. And have him be just like...
Tom, can I talk about the guy that you got for me as a gift?
Oh, yeah, of course. No, please. That would be...
Speaking of Borat... Tom, you worked... you came and helped on the movie a few days and some of the writing stuff. You were out here and you... Came into the room and pitched on some stuff and joked around with us. And so you knew I was one of the few people you had signed an NDA and knew I was working on this. And so I...
Because this was like the biggest secret ever to carry. And it was so exciting to know that this thing was going on and people have no idea that this is happening in the world at this moment was thrilling.
Yeah, so I was like, luckily you had worked on it for a few days. I was able to talk to you about it, and because I couldn't really talk to most of my friends about it, and so you knew what I was doing for the year and a half, and then in the middle of it all, it was my birthday, and you and a few friends showed up in a it was still pandemic times, but showed up on my it wasn't as bad as it is now in LA, but and my wife, I was like on some meeting.
My wife? Zoom. Is it my wife?
My wife. I was on some Zoom in my bedroom, and my wife Becky came and said, "Hey, there's, can you just come out front?" And I, it was my birthday. I figured it was something. But so it was you and a few friends, had done a very lovely, gotten me some cake and some stuff in the front yard. And, it was very moving and really sweet. And then, I see from walking down the block a man kind of like waddling cartoony style in like a gray suit holding a megaphone, which is not a Borat accoutrement.
No, he's not known for his megaphone.
and what did he, and so he, And he starts yelling in the megaphone on my, like, quiet little block in L.A. Mm-hmm. What was he saying? Like, I am Borat. I am from Kazakhstan. Saying the place right. And
he got every part of it wrong.
And he got every – I think he probably said Borat wrong. He was like, so you had hired a Borat impersonator to come and do his thing for my birthday. And I, of course, like – because I'm living in this insane level of secrecy, I, like, flipped out just the idea that someone would take a picture and it would end up on social media with me, with this guy, and I would, like, and so I, like, freak out, and I go up to him, like, oh, he's just quiet, please. And he's, like, caught off guard. I was, like, you have to stop right now. I could lose my job over this, which
maybe not one of my greatest decision-making moments in my life. But like, he was there for 2.5 minutes before I had to go up to him and say hey, I it's okay, we're done, we're done. And he was like, what? It was like,
so you got me for like a half. Like, you're like, take a hike, buddy. Get out of here.
I was just like, no, we're good. We're good. Thanks very much. And he was like, okay. And yeah, that was just, that was probably the greatest per minute payday in all of history was this guy rolled up as Borat, did 2 minutes tops as Borat, and then was told, all right, you can go now.
But not only that, like, he, even at, like, as an impersonator, probably used to, like, people smiling, humoring him, being like, oh, cute, oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. I think the last thing he was expecting was someone being like, I could lose my job if anyone sees you. I'm like, you have to get out of here right now. You have to stop. Yeah. You have to get out of here.
Well, on second thought, I probably should have told him to leave megaphone at home.
It was such a nice, it was a great birthday gift. That I freaked out so much. We did manage to keep the secret until just before it came out, but it was the crazy level of tension of not being able to tell my family, you know, what I was doing and that kind of thing. But, that was a great gift. And
that was, You pulled off something that is in all of comedy one of the most I cannot think of anything where the bar of difficulty where the level of difficulty is higher than making a second Borat movie amazing, but you did it, and obviously Sacha Baron Cohen is a genius and is who he is, but there is literally no way on earth this movie would have been what it is if you were not the one directing it. And it is just a testament to how talented you are. And I was never so happy as to see how great this movie came out. And, you did it, and it's so impressive.
I am always in awe
of your talent.
Thank you. You're the best. I lean on you a lot, calling you from weird cities and being like, yeah, I think I'm going to die tomorrow.
Yeah, there would be a few conversations over the last year or so where you'd be just like, we drove all the way to a thing and then a guy just said, oh, you're Borat. And then our day was shot. And then there'd be other days where you'd be like, you will not believe the crazy day we had. And it was just such an exciting thing. But you rode the ride the whole time, and you pulled off something that the movie will be great forever. So, congratulations on that. You did it.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, hopefully now it's just kind of a snapshot of this crazy moment, and we'll be able to look at it as, just a look at the past pretty soon. Trump lost, so I think it would be a pretty big bummer right now if he didn't. I think that no one would ever want to watch it again.
It would be the movie that no one ever watched again, because it just stood as a reminder of when the world ended. I mean, look, we're still figuring out if the world's going to end, actually.
We're still in it, but we have a shot. At least we have a shot at figuring it out. If we were like, oh, yeah, well, here we go, another 4 years, it would be pretty grim. As bad as things are right now, I think that would be much, much worse.
Oh, my God. Look, and now when you're on the set a year from now, when you're sitting in that chair directing the big whack, getting what's his face, Big Pussy, against the green screen.
The only ones we'll really get, everyone else will be deepfakes and CGI, but I think we'll get him. I think he'll do it.
We'll get him, and we'll get Paulie Walnuts. I think there's a way to budget them out to just hire him one cameo at a time. Just send through. It's like, hey, send a Big Pussy. Hey, here's a cameo request. Just read these six lines.
We were at one point talking about tricking him into doing it. I mean, he would definitely do it. And I think, like, Pacino and De Niro would almost certainly, De Niro would definitely do it for a number. Like, that's a no-brainer. And, and then when you say, oh, De Niro's doing it, then you probably get Pacino to do it. And, that's really how, if you had those guys alive. But then, the other guys, some of those other guys, before you finish asking the question, they'd be there. They'd be next to you.
So I say, if you are listening to this and you want to see the big whack, tweet about it. Tell people.
Tweet about it. Yeah, call any studio heads you know. Talk about it.
And, just get the word out that we are ready. If we can get, what do you think we need? $80 million to get it rolling?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I think you need the rights to The Sopranos legally squared away. And I think that would be a hard one because he's probably protective of that, especially because we have to do the scene where Tony explains what happens after the cut to black. That's got to be part of it, right? We got to find, everyone wants to know. That has to be part of the promise of seeing this movie, that he just tells you what happened.
Yeah, they'll be in the back room at the Satrials, and then Paulie Walnuts will go, hey, T, whatever happened to you that one day you went to Holston's to get ice cream with your family? He's like, funny story. Well, that's something like this. And then we just pick it up with families at the table.
You know what that is? That is Vince Gilligan's Sopranos.
That would be Vince Gilligan's Sopranos. Yes, exactly. Just like
everything, no mystery. Just like, no, that's what happened. Do you remember?
Tell me what you want. Whatever you guys want, I'm going to give you all of it.
The Breaking Bad finale where people are like, oh, actually, I think maybe he died halfway through when he's trying to get or he dies in the car, because everything after a certain point is just pure Walter White wish fulfillment.
Yeah. And like, that's not what happened. Yeah, no, he's not dead.
Wrong.
There's nothing like a creator correcting the audience's enthusiasm.
Or just like trying to figure something out. Nope, wrong. You're wrong. Wasn't bad at all.
Jason Molinar, I love you. Thank you so much.
Love you. Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be on.
You're sweet. I will talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Jason Wallner, Borat 2. That's a big one. Pat?
Sir.
How'd you like that?
Loved it.
Jason? Dudio?
I'm ready for the big whack.
You ready for the big whack? You think Wally Wacky Man being in it is a mistake? And for people who don't know, Wally Wacky Man is Jason's brother. Well, not Wally Wacky Man, Z-Man, the operator of Wally Wacky Man, is his brother. And now, you think that would be a mistake?
I think he's earned it.
Yeah, I think if you're keeping it to just even just that felt line, and then it's just like a short cameo, like you have everybody in the palm of your hands right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I think Wally Wacky Man Now, do you think a dream sequence is the way to go with that? Or do you think he should actually be in it?
I think it should be left up to, interpretation.
Sure. Well, maybe that'd be like a nod to David Chase stuff where it just seems like you're not sure what that was. You got to go talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got any calls?
Got some calls. Let's go going to line three.
And people on Twitter are doing an amazing job with these suggestions for weed names. Besho, hi.
Hi.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
This is Amanda. I'm in Portland now. I'm from New Jersey originally.
Amanda, where in New Jersey were you from?
I'm actually in between like 7 or 8 different cities, but Trenton.
Trenton makes, the world takes.
Yeah. My first one is Lipstick Pony Trick.
Wait, say that again?
Lipstick Pony Trick.
Lipstick.
Pony Tricks.
Pony Tricks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last summer, one night, some teens broke into a petting zoo in Bergen County. They destroyed property, rode donkeys, and put lipstick on at least one pony. Filming
okay.
It all on social media.
Okay, so that's one truly for the people in the state that would resonate for the hometown residents.
Yeah.
Lipstick pony trick. I like it.
I have a few more. Cape May, I get stoned.
That's great.
Girl Scout Snooki, if it hasn't been said.
Girl Scout Snooki is great. So that'd be like an edible?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, it's like a Jersey-based Girl Scout cookie that has weed in it.
In tribute to the great Einstein from Princeton area, E equals MC stoned.
Well, that is amazing. E equals MC stoned. What if it's E equals I am
stoned? Yeah, there could be various strains of that. How about Fayuli?
Not exactly going along with it, huh? You don't like getting punched up. Fair enough.
Please give me a break. It's my first time calling.
That's okay. I'm giving you a break. You're doing amazing.
Thank you. Fayuli's Gold?
Yuli. Wait, is that from, did that happen in New Jersey, that movie?
Is it a movie?
Yuli's Gold?
I just know Fool's Gold is an expression, so I thought Fayuli's Gold.
Well, Yuli's Gold, there was a movie, a Peter Fonda movie called Yuli's Gold, where he was like a beekeeper. Very exciting movie.
Okay.
It's one of those movies that when people are like, I know people are like, oh, movies are so loud and so, they're just video games now. It's just like, yeah, maybe Yuli's Gold ain't the answer to that either. So,
yeah.
Well, these are great.
And then Maui, I think was said on Twitter, but just in case, I'll throw that out there.
Sure, like Mawa. Mawa,
yeah,
Wowie?
Mawa, wow, yeah.
Mawa, Wawa.
Yeah, I thought about Wawa too.
Well, that'd be good because they could sell that at Wawa. Mawa, Wawa would be that if it's legal and it's sold at Wawa's, that'd be their brand of over-the-counter weed, where it's just like you get it at a Wawa, Mawa, Wawa.
Yeah, a lot of potential cross-promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Trenton Bakes, the world wakes.
Oh my God. That's amazing. Trenton Bakes, the world wakes. I love it. These are great.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. You have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Our friend BB in Las Vegas said Joint Pleasant. That is perfect.
Oh, that's great.
Right? Joint yeah. Pleasant. It's a brilliant.
Wish I thought of that one.
Lodi So High. Man, there's so many good ones here. Atlantic City Pineapple Expressway.
Oh, man. I had Pineapple Turnpike, but that's better.
Yeah. The Chest Smoke with Bong Sharpling. Not sure how I feel about that one.
Bong Sharpling. I think that's it by itself.
Bong Sharpling. Okay. I'll take it. Bong Sharpling. So when there's like a weed strain in New Jersey. Yeah. John Wicky Icky from Perry Shall again, because remember this. John Wick takes place in New Jersey, a good amount of it. He's from New Jersey. To me, it's one of those another amazing characters where, well, first of all, John Wick could be in the big whack.
So you think you could help us?
Yeah, I'm thinking I can help. Oh, my God. Wacky Tuwaco. This Wally Wacky Man. I'm looking at this picture. These people are putting pictures of Wally Wacky Man up. I'm worried about Wally Wacky Man's health. He's got this one vein popping out of the middle of his, right between his eyes. He's got to get that checked out. Worried about Wally Wacky Man's well-being. Let me read some other ones from Twitter that we have here for the weed strains. Perry Schall is on fire with this. Piscataway Out. Amazing. Liddy Gardens. Francis Albert Sativa. That's Pussy Cow coming up with that one, or just Frank Sativa. Pork Pre-Roll. Another great one from Pussy Cow. Hydro Moments. Pat.
Yeah. I had the Crimson Kush, but I think Hydro is better.
They say it's a Misfits reference. These Hydro Moments, give me a moment.
You know what a great dispensary name would be?
What's that?
Where Eagles Toke.
Where Eagles Toke. Oh, my God. Pat, I want you to, no joke, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Start looking into, see what the deal with these dispensaries are. We could open, we could have a thing called the best smoke with Bong Sharpling.
Dan McNamara said, what about Bada Bong?
Bada Bong.
Oh, yeah.
The best smoke with Bong Sharpling, though. I think that's the way we go.
Can that also be a podcast on the Tombat Zone?
That's right. We got to get our weed show on that because our friend, like, there's different weed podcasts. Our friend Damien from Effed Up has one, and this guy makes they open up a vault full of weed for him with every episode. This guy's rolling in it. Rolling in the cash and that old the cash and the kush. Blue Jorts is sold to only a secret stash. Kevin Smith. I like that though. Dog Bed Intercom. Blitzed Christie is a good one. Ian Garwood just said. Kind Bud Abbott from Ben Worcester. Worcester. Jessica saying Spring Strain, a.k.a. The Boss. I like it. Man, this is good. Titus Hydroponicus.
Wow.
From Michael O'Brien. Oh, my goodness.
Home run.
Yeah, that's a home run. Buttsville Blast. The Bong Franklin Bridge. Well, that's more of a Philly one. That's yours.
But it goes to Jersey.
Yeah. I don't want none of that Philly stink all over our weed. Right?
Yeah.
Because you know these Philly people could be driving all over. Suddenly it's the first good thing they got to say about New Jersey when they want our legal weed. I mean, look, Stoned Pony is one of the greatest things I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I wish.
How is that not already? I mean, they must have that. Like, that would be good for Bruce. If Bruce does do a strain of, like, a weed line.
Yeah.
If his thing was called Dankness on the Edge of Town, and then he had Stoned Pony.
But how far away from Asbury do you think a head shop or a dispensary with the name Stoned Pony would have to be before a cease and desist happened? Like, do you think, like, Neptune or further, like, further out?
I don't know. There's only one way to find out when we start selling it at the Best Smoke with Bong Sharpling. Pat, would you consider managing the store?
Sure. I mean, you know, I definitely would have to leave my current gig, but
yeah.
Springstoned. Yeah, I don't think that would work.
But there's
Springstoned is pretty good.
There's a market.
Little Sativa Van Zandt.
If I work there, I'd like to introduce Snooky Ookie.
Snooky Ookie is good. Yeah.
And,
I love it.
And Diner Danko.
Diner Hoboken Choke. Man, this is good. We got to get this going. Pat, start looking at shops. Start looking at storefronts, please. What town should we be in? What do you think, New Brunswick?
Maybe, yeah. Get that. Maybe go down to Jersey Princeton. Crowd. What's that?
Princeton.
Princeton.
Right? Maybe off Route 1 near that weird spot where they got a Wendy's on one side of the street and a McDonald's on the other.
Definitely a strip mall.
Yeah. Definitely a strip mall. Well, I love it. I love it, and I am excited about our new future selling weed. Jason, will you? Oh, here you go. Amelia, Adam Blaze the Strain. Adam Blaze the Strain.
Dan had another good one. The Ghost of Tom Joint. Dan McNamara.
How's he doing? He's a good guy.
He's great. Yeah, he's he married my friend Tabitha, and they live upstate now.
Well, that's nice. Tell him I said hi.
I will.
I think I just did. I think I just told him hi. Man, we got to get this weed going here. We get this weed shop set up. You got another call for me?
Tons.
You like those Borat behind the scenes stories?
That is crazy. Yeah. Crazier
right?
than the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there could
Best
be a
show
making
high.
Of,
oh, no, sorry, Pat. Go ahead.
I mean, like, if there was a making of Borat, I think it would do just as well because the stories are crazy.
Chris. His name was Chris. Where's Chris? Jason's like, oh, boy, Chris is in bad shape. Hold on, I'm Chris. Best show, hi.
Hi, I'm Pat from South Boston.
Pat from South Boston?
That's my name.
You mean, is that Southie?
Yeah, that's Southie. Good old Southie.
Now, Pat, do you like apples?
Yes.
I enjoy an apple from time to time.
Wrong Pat. Wrong Pat.
Sorry,
Pat.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. It's confusing.
No, you're the right Pat.
Oh, okay. I enjoy
Pat,
an apple from
Pat. Don't talk, Pat. Let Pat talk, Pat. Pat, what were you saying?
I enjoy an
apple. No, the other Pat. No, I'm kidding. Damn, go ahead.
Man.
You go ahead.
I enjoy an apple from time to time.
Well, how do you like them apples?
I like them with a bit of caramel on the outside.
So that's how you would have handled that scene in Good Will Hunting. If he was like,
yeah.
You like apples? How do you like them apples? You'd be like, I like them with a little bit of caramel on the outside. No, no, you don't get it. I want you to feel bad that I got this phone number. You'd be like, oh, phone number. I thought we were talking about apples. We're talking about apples or phone numbers?
I like
one of the funniest things. One of the funniest things I ever saw in Boston in was I had to go interview a player on the Boston Celtics, right? And they had their practice space was outside of Boston, and I had time to kill. I got there early. They were still practicing. So I just pulled into this community college parking lot and sat there to kill time for an hour before I could go to the practice facility nearby. And this community college had a giant banner hanging outside their outside of the, one of the buildings. And it said, as seen in Good Will Hunting. And then it's like, wait, no, as seen in Good Will Hunting as the terrible school that Robin Williams was stuck at.
Yeah.
It's like, you sure you really want to brag about as seen in Good Will Hunting?
Yeah, some of the bars around here do that too.
But it was like known as a terrible school in the movie where he's just like, oh, what happened to my life? I'm teaching at this dump.
Yeah.
As seen in Good Will Hunting. So what do you got for me, Pat?
I got a weed strain here for you, but I also got a reason, an alternative reason for calling, and we'll get to that. But I want to endear you with my weed strain first.
No, let's hear it.
Okay. My weed strain for a New Jersey weed strain is Gabba Glue. Gabba Glue.
That's pretty good. Gabba Glue.
Gabba Glue.
All right. I like it.
Thank you. Okay. My alternate reason for calling is my girlfriend actually called last week and proposed to me.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Allie from Somerville called in. And I didn't take it as well as I should have.
What?
I said yes, of course. Like, I love her, and you know, I won't be with her. But, like, it was, like, a weird situation where, like, she was showing me the best show and trying to get me into it. And you guys were, like, talking about me, and you were, like, almost like her mom, like, going, like, well, is this boy fit for a common-law marriage, you know? And I was, like, I kind of got in my head about it, and I was like, am I good enough? And then, so I kind of freaked out. I was like, oh, like, putting, I felt a little exposed.
Sure, sure.
So,
how do you feel? Did you process it? You got your head straight?
Oh, absolutely. And I said, absolutely. Like, I'd love to be a Kamala husband. But I kind of ruined the moment that she kind of had planned, and, like, she was showing me the best show, and then she proposed to me on it, and I kind of screwed that up, like, real bad. You know?
So what do you want to say to Allie right now, Pat?
I want to say to Allie, I know you're listening, Allie. I love you. I want to be your common-law husband. I want to be your uncommon-law husband. I want to be, we can do a ritual at a court. I mean, a ritual at a court. We can do a thing at a court. We can do a ritual, a magic ritual, whatever you want. We can solidify this bond in any world you want, because I want to be with you. And I'm sorry for screwing that moment off, but I love you, and you're the best.
Oh, well, Patrick, Pat, you seem like a sweet guy. Can I call you Patrick?
Yeah, please.
Well, Patrick, you seem like a decent sort, and I'm going to say this. Allie, Patrick put his foot in his mouth.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a good guy, though. You know his heart. He messed up. He started flapping his gums a little too much and said some stuff, and now he's setting it right.
Absolutely. So I hope she
likes this?
Look, I appreciate you you clarifying it, and I'm sure Allie will appreciate it also.
All right, thanks a lot, Tom. Thank you for giving me the platform, and you know, you got a new fan now. I'm in.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome to the fold.
Well, thank you, brother man, and thanks again. Love you, Allie.
Fredericks.
Wait, what did you say?
Nothing. I thought you were somebody else for a second. I thought you might be this guy Fredericks who used to call.
Oh no. Oh.
He's in jail now.
Oh snap.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call, Pat, and let me know what happens.
Absolutely, Tom. Oh, right. We'll get you with an update. You have a good one. I've taken enough time. You have a good one, yeah. Tom.
All right, buddy. All right, bye.
Bye.
Nice guy, nice guy.
That was great, because that was like a full circle. Nice. I remember common law wife called, was it 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Allie, last week.
Last week, yeah.
Last week,
and yeah. And this guy got through first time calling. That's pretty amazing. He had never listened to the show before.
He did it. That's what love will do sometimes, Pat. All right. We got anybody else?
Yeah,
what about Hi Oh My?
Still got some full phones.
Hi Oh My is pretty good. Best show, hi.
Ooh, let me hit the button, and I am here. Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Vitaly. I'm calling from North Jersey.
Welcome.
And thank you very much. I got a couple of things for the topic.
What do you got?
I think you already... Okay, I just... I have...
call for a second.
What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead.
I think you all talked about the Wawa before, but I don't think anyone said Wawa Wowie, which I feel like would be important.
No, Wawa Wowie is a good one. That actually is like the cleanest version of a Wawa weed.
Perfect. That's the one I'm going to get. I was kind of hoping that when it all comes around, I was kind of hoping to get a Newbridge Kush. And the other thing, so I don't really want to memorialize this guy. I don't really like this guy. In fact, I actively don't like this guy, but yeah, Jared Kushner's from New Jersey, and I feel like it would be too good not to have a Kushner Kush.
There should be, yeah. There should be some kind, but how can we have that and make it humiliate him also, though? Not make him seem in any way cool.
Can it just be like the weed that I used to smoke in high school? Can that be the Kushner Kush? Like you get it and it's like, what is this? It's all seeds and like...
Dirt weed. Yeah, it should just be called Kushner Dirt Weed, right?
A brick of Kushner Kush. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this dirty ditch weed.
I'm loving the show, Tom. I was like, I didn't want to get... didn't want to be in outer space by the time I was about to talk to you, so I'm just firing everything up right now. I'm going to get a little towards the end portion of the show.
All right.
You do your business.
And look, I'm going to say this. This show is not endorsing. I'm not telling everybody to go get high from listening to the show. You want you get your jollies with a nice glass of water, then let that be how you have a fun time. You like walking around the block and exercising, you do that. You like you're like a young Dennis Hopper, you get your thrills huffing gas. And you do that.
All of the above, Tom.
I just listened to this long thank you. Cool. I just listened to this audiobook, this Dennis Hopper biography. Ay, ay, ay. That's a rough dude to like. Rough dude. Like what's that?
Did he read it?
No, he didn't read it. He was long gone before that.
Oh, okay.
Amongst his many, things in terms of just being like a abusive nightmare, he fought Terry Southern over the credit for Easy Rider because he just was obsessed with having credit for the thing, but he didn't he wrote, Terry Southern wrote the movie, and then he gave them a deal on it to do it for cheap because he wanted to tell the story. And then he was rewarded by having them take his money, by not paying him and denying he worked on it. Like, he came up with the title, man. And then when it was time, when it was just like, hey, Dennis, where's your script for it? I don't have one. But then Terry Southern has a script. Like, yeah, it's funny. You think you might hold on to the Easy Rider script. Especially a guy who is just like, I save everything, man. It's like, oh, you save everything. Didn't save that Easy Rider script that you wrote. Whatever. And then he's one of those guys who does the classic, I'm a conservative now, like later in life. Like, guy shoves the hippie lifestyle on everybody, and then suddenly he's like, I vote for Reagan. Ay, ay, ay. I don't know, man. Bad news. I like Dennis Hopper's photographs. And I think the movie Easy Rider is a buffoon fest. But I do like the photos. I think he was a really good photographer. Good actor. Not so hot as a human. We got anybody else, Pat?
Yes, sir.
Sir, I like that. Sir, yes, sir.
Hi.
Best show, hi.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking?
This is Sharon from Raleigh.
Sharon from Raleigh?
Yes.
From Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yes, North Carolina.
One third of the triangle, yes, as they call it.
Yes, one third of the triangle, yes.
The triangle is comprised of Chapel Hill, Durham, and Raleigh.
Raleigh, yes.
And what's your favorite of the three?
Raleigh.
You like Raleigh the best? And are you a fan of...
Well, I like Chapel Hill maybe the best because, you know, Cat's Cradle is there, so...
Sure. So. You like the club, the Cat's Cradle.
Yeah.
And what do you think of the Duke? Are you a fan of Duke?
I am a fan of State.
Of NC State.
Yes, of course, because I'm from Raleigh.
Sure. Okay. All right. What do you got for me tonight?
Oh, so I have a couple for the topic. I do know that kind of Wawa was overplayed, but
You got a Wawa one. You lay it on me.
Yeah, I'm gonna, only because, you know, a couple hours ago I tried to call in. I was like, it's Wawa what?
Wawa what?
Yes.
You mean like you're so high, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like that?
Wawa what? Yes.
Okay.
Wawa what?
What about Wawa wee wah? And then you get Borat on the package.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe.
Wawa, exactly. Wawa weed wah.
Wawa weed wah. That would be
good. Yeah. Right?
Okay.
Well, we got that. We guess he would get Jason Wallner to walk that one over to Sacha Baron Cohen. And you want to make someone sell some weed? Wawa weed wah.
Wawa weed wah. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. What else you got?
Okay. I've got seven, just so you know. Okay. So
you go for it.
Okay. I have the Chairman of the Bong.
Chairman of the Bong. Frank Sinatra reference. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. I've got Grandma's Gravy.
Grandma's Gravy? You mean because of like...
New Jersey. Gravy.
Because in New Jersey, people call tomato, they call sauce
gravy. Sauce gravy, which is so crazy. Yes. mm-hmm. like whatever that's about. Yeah.
With the chairman of the bong, what if they had commercials for it and it's like, you make me feel so high. Right?
Yeah, that could be a song.
Okay, yeah, it is. I just did it.
Okay, and
maybe we get Weird Al. Maybe we get Weed Al to do it, huh?
Well, you know, I actually had dinner with Weird Al once.
Really?
Yes. Back in my days, I used to work for William Morris Agency, and I had dinner with Weird Al.
Bad guy, from what I hear, right? Bad guy? Not nice. No, he's the nicest guy ever.
The nicest guy ever.
Yes. He's so nice. He's one of the kindest souls you'd ever want to meet. I love Weird Al so much.
Yeah, me too. Okay, number four is Red Bank Skank.
Red Bank Skank. Like it.
Yeah. The Garden Strain Parkway.
Well, maybe the maybe it should be Weed Al Skankovic. Right? Like that's our marijuana version of Weird Al, and he does like, you make me feel so high. Come on down to the what was it called again? The best smoke with Bong Sharpling.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Weird Al. I'm Weed Al.
Fly me to the moon. Fly me to the moon. You sing that?
Fly me to the moon because I got so high on the weed from the store.
And all these little kids.
What else you got?
I got New Crunkswick.
New Crunkswick, okay.
Good. And then, now here's very old school. I'm not sure if you'll remember, but Crunkle Floyd.
I don't get it. I'm kidding. Of course I get it.
Of course.
Uncle Floyd.
Yeah, Crunkle Floyd.
There's no way that when weed is being sold legally in New Jersey, that Uncle Floyd doesn't slap his face on something.
Or else no one would ever understand that. They'd be like, what do you mean, Crunkle Floyd? I'm not really sure.
If he's good enough, if he's willing to go play piano at a flea market.
Floyd, I'm not sure what that is.
You don't know who that is?
No. I'm saying, like, you know, kids these days, you know, once they get legalized and they go to, like, you know, I'll order the Crunkle the Floyd. You know, Crunkle Floyd would be like, oh, they don't really understand what it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, they'll figure, trust me, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So what are we? That's cool. That's great.
My last one is Hoboken Token, which is kind of stupid, but
that's pretty good. Yeah. Hoboken Token.
Oh, and here's and this is for AP Mike. Bananas in Bayonne.
Bananas in Bayonne. Well, he'll be happy to hear that. We'll. Yeah. So, all right, my friend.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, thanks. Take my call.
Hi. Got another call? Anybody?
Yes.
No. I'm saying, like, you know, kids these days, you know.
Okay. All right, turn it down. Turn it down, Chief. Turn it down. Hey, if you're one of the few humans that are on hold for the best show right now, I'm talking to you.
Hello.
There you are. What's up?
Nothing much. This is William from Naperville.
From where now?
Naperville, Illinois.
Naperville, Illinois. Home of?
Bob Odenkirk. He went to high school here, at least.
That's good enough.
Okay, there we go.
So what do you got for me?
Well, my family usually vacations in New Jersey, so I have to do some weed names based on where we go, Long Beach Highland.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. I guess this one isn't very creative, but Beach Haven already kind of sounds like a weed name, so just keep that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this one, take a little explanation. Have you seen John Sayles' Baby, It's You?
Have I seen that movie? I don't know if I ever did see that movie.
Yeah, I think that's the best New Jersey movie ever made. It's about, like, Rosanna Arquette falling in love with a scumbag in high school. And the scumbag she falls in love with is named The Sheik. So, you know, we could go, like, The Sheik special sauce and sell it only to John Sayles or tourists.
Sure. Well, we might be narrowing our appeal in the marketplace if you have to be a John Sayles super fan to buy that weed. But
I mean, yeah, you could also be like a Vincent Spano completist, you know, so. You know, we've got two markets cornered that nobody else is selling to, so.
Well, I'm going to say, I think those might be the same market.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm a fan of John Sayles. I can't stand Vincent Spano.
Yeah, he really ruined City of Hope.
Boy, let me guess. I'm going to make a guess here. And there's no way I'm wrong on this. I would bet everything I have on this planet. You have a Criterion Channel subscription.
Oh, my God. How did you know?
I could just – it was just a hunch. Just a hunch that you rolled off five John Sayles jokes in a row.
I can keep going.
Keep going.
Okay.
Did you see the movie I recommended on Twitter? Are you on Twitter?
Yes, I am on Twitter. Let me see.
And let me just say, this president of the United States with his Twitter thing, it's very classy. He's always concerned with class. He thought, like, reports are saying that he thought the people storming the Capitol looked low class is what he was concerned about. Not that they looked insane or treasonous or any of that stuff. They looked low class. I mean, what did he want them in, tuxedos?
Yeah, just carrying around nightcaps.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have white zip ties after Labor Day. Is that what he wanted? Why am I not the most renowned jokester in the biz with fast quips like that? Why?
I want to say it's racism, even though you're white. That's my hunch.
Moronic! Please just stop with that. We're not even gonna. You're okay. Raised. I know you're trying to be a cut up here, but I'm
okay.
I don't like that road.
Okay, all right.
That's all right. Look, you can
take the high road. I'm not here to shock. I'm here to.
No. Look. It's fine. I'm the jokester. Okay. I'm the jokester.
It's true. It's true.
I get it. No, but I recommended a movie, this John McEnroe documentary.
Yes, I saw the tweet a while ago. I have not yet watched it, but now that you have me on phone talking to you about it, I think I may have to watch it.
It's so good. It's one of those documentaries that is special in a way that you can't believe it exists, where they took this unseen footage that these French filmmakers would just do of tennis players, just filming them and not even focusing on the match, focusing on the player. So it's this breakdown of John McEnroe as an athlete and as a person. It's got voiceover and is dissected and structured, and it's really just amazing.
Okay. Sounds good.
So, yeah, I can, and it leaves Criterion Channel the end of this month. So people should watch this, John McEnroe documentary on Criterion if you haven't. Anything else, buddy? Cause I gotta wrap it up.
Okay, then I won't keep you waiting, and I'll sign off.
Thank you. Night. Have a grand evening. How many? We got three more calls, Pat?
Yes, we have three. Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay, no more. No more. That's it, because I want to wrap it up on time. Brett is going to a nightclub tonight for a seat. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that on the air. Sorry.
That's out of the bag.
Yeah, he goes.
That's the name of the nightclub. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you went further then. You actually said the name of your nightclub that you're going to. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom. Joseph from Fort Worth.
Joseph from Fort Worth. What's up, Joseph?
Nothing. Just got two for the topic, Jersey Wheat Trades.
What do you got?
So for the Feelies, it will be the Fatties. And then apmike.bandcamp.kush.
That's pretty good. AP Mike. And he'll be the first one to start plugging that weed on. He'll be the one that tests whether Bandcamp, you can sell weed on Bandcamp with his, I guess his team will figure that out. So, all right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
And just got you for the topic.
Best show.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, Besha. Hi.
From Nashville.
Who's this?
This is Taylor from Nashville. How you doing, Tom?
Good. Good. What's going on tonight?
Just listening to you, sitting here with my girlfriend playing some Minecraft. I got some fresh new strains for you.
What do you got?
I got Mildwood.
Instead of Wildwood. Very good.
Asburricane.
Say it again. Asburricane. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Yep. Good. Parentheses, Haddon, close parentheses, Field of Dreams.
Okay.
Pensock Spacewalk.
Uh-huh.
Can you picture the AC/DC logo?
I can, yes.
So ACOG, but the little container you get has the lightning bolt between the C and the O.
Okay. I like it. You're thinking of the marketing, which I like. You took it to the next level.
Oh, yeah. Graphic designer by day, so it's very second nature to me.
Yeah, you can't shut it off. You just don't know how to shut it off.
No, it's the curse I live with, man. I have more. Do you want more, or am I overstaying the welcome?
No, you're good. That's good. You did great.
So, sorry. Keep going or stop?
Give me one more. Give me your best one.
I'm going to go with my girlfriend's recommendation, which is Danny DeVito. I thought it was a pretty strong one.
But what is it?
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito is great because he's from New Jersey. Home run.
Yep.
Great job. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, how you doing, man? This is Abed. Is this Tom?
It is.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. I'm great. I know Jason, right, is there. Walliner?
He's not physically here, but he was on the show.
Oh, he was on the show, so it's just me and you.
Just me and you, buddy. What do you got for me?
Well, look, I don't. I'm not a regular listener, so I just saw that your show was open, that you were taking calls, so I figured I'd try this out.
Okay.
But how does this work? I mean, do I give you a topic and then we discuss it? Is that how it happens?
No, we usually talk about the topic that we're all talking about right now. So.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
I thought I heard you guys mention the Feelies.
Well, we're talking about New Jersey weed strains. What would be good brands for New Jersey weed?
Oh, new brands for New Jersey weed. I see.
Yeah.
Like crazy kinds of strains that would cross different kinds of weed. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. Just it would be like marketing things for, things that would be like, what would be funny ones? But so look, this is what you do. You listen, you figure it out, you get the spirit of the thing, and then you call back.
Oh, I'm so sorry, man. I just
don't worry. It's fine.
Because I know you're a music guy, so I figured I would call in and try to strike a chord that way. Yeah.
No, well, look, I got to wrap. I only have 3 minutes left for the show, and I got to talk about something. I got to talk about.
I see. So, well, good to talk.
But
to
I appreciate.
Have a nice day.
And you too. Thank you for the call. Okay. All right. Is that it for the phones? Pat?
That's it.
Okay. Thanks, everybody who called. It was a nice night. Appreciate it. And I just want to end the show saying that this week, a few days ago, somebody really special passed away. Oh, my goodness. What a sweetheart of a person. Neil Mahoney died a few days ago, and he is somebody who I've known for a long time, and he's somebody who is a friend and somebody who is just one of those people that literally everybody likes, and it's just he's just one of the nicest, sweetest people, and it's just truly heartbreaking. He is somebody I admired his talent and the things that he worked on. He was an editor and a director, and he just was so funny and so just a good guy. And you can just, if you look on, you see what social media has been like for the last few days, and people are just devastated by this loss, and rightfully so, because he is, the loss is just enormous. What a complete champion of a person he was and is. I got to work with him on the Postal Service video that I did, the voting one we did over the summer. I had never actually gotten a chance to work on anything with him until then. And he edited the video, and it was one of the most challenging edits you can have, because it was a million different Zoom things from all different people, and we're trying to make it all happen and pull it all together. And it's the trickiest thing ever. And I mean, it was like him editing five videos by editing one Zoom video. And I spent a lot of time talking to him about it and working with him on it. And we sat one night and at his place and socially distanced doing the editing. And I mean, I've known him for a long time, and but that was the night I got to see him actually work, which I had never had the opportunity to actually watch him. And that night it was just like, this guy is a legit talent. And I was just blown away by that. It was everything you could ask for from a person and a friend. Kind, funny, incredibly talented, smart, amazing taste. Man, what a huge loss. And we're all just crushed by it. And he was very supportive of this show. I think when we did the Best Show Awards years ago, he got like best gomp of the year, I think, something like that. He would send me clips of stuff, and he does the Jonah Radio with Jonah Ray, and also people who were really close to Jonah, and I mean to Neil, like Jonah. And the people who worked with him regularly, I can't even imagine what they're going through. And they get my sympathy. And
Yeah, Neil was the one who sent me the clips of Jonah saying that he stole beers. So he just was the funniest guy, and he was so kind to me as a person and to this show and to everything. And I just got to say, it's a huge loss. And, if anybody, I can't think of anybody being more missed than Neil is going to be missed. So rest in peace, and Best Show will be back next week. Thanks for listening, and, we will talk to you soon. Bye.